Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. And let me just say that there's two ways to listen to us. One is on Facebook Live, and you can go to Cog Family Community on Facebook. And we have now opened this up to a much wider audience. And so and we're hoping that more people will be able to watch. And so if you have a problem with getting on Facebook Live, you can contact our administrator. And so just email him. It's patrick.v@sbcglobal.net, and he'll help you with your problems if you have any there with getting on there. Also, you can hear us through the audio on our webpage, which is at icgrace.org, and that will be posted later on this morning, along with the Bible study that we just had. And also, if you go onto our COG list, or our COG list, which is our interchurch internet communication tool that we have, you can see the questions not only from the message but also from the Bible study there also. And so those are ways that you can just keep up with us and tune on what we're doing. I want to thank everybody for your giving in this time. I know that giving in this time is challenging, especially with the unemployment rate as high as it is right now. I know that giving is difficult, but I want to thank you for those of you that have been so very faithful in giving in this time. And we just need to remember that when you give, it's not so much you're giving to a church. The church is the vehicle that you give to God through, and so it's God that you're giving to, and we give to Him as a form of worship, and also giving grows our faith, and you know, this is a time I think where people need faith so much. So let me pray, and we'll get into the message right now. So Father, we just thank you for our time today. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that in the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of everything that continues to go on, that you are there. You are faithful, and you are working and moving, and we do see evidences of that. Father, I continue to pray for the doctors and the nurses, the care workers, all those that are serving out on the front lines, Lord, that you would just continue to keep them safe, that you would help them as they give out. Father, I pray for all those who have been exposed to COVID-19. Father, I pray that you would heal them. Lord, for those that have been exposed to it, I pray that they just not get it, even though they've been around it, that you would just supernaturally protect them. Father, I pray for those that have been wrestling with having the virus. I pray, Lord, for their healing. And I thank you, Lord, for the reports that we are getting of those that are getting better. That someone getting the virus does not mean they're going to die. And I thank you, Lord, that you are stronger than the virus. You're stronger than anything. And we just thank you, Lord, for as strong and powerful as you are. You are our loving, intimate Father, who is intimately interested in every part of our lives and invested in our well-being. And I just thank you for who you are. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to take a break today from talking about Hebrews 11, where I've been for the last couple of weeks. And I want to focus today on something a little bit different. One of the things that I'm noticing in this time is a lack of patience in people. People are reacting more emotionally in these changing times. I see people more impulsive, and so I just see this lack of patience, and I think people are tired. I think people are past ready to get back to some semblance of normalcy, even though we've heard so much about a new normal, or that life and the world that we knew is gone. People still want to get out and to be able to do and to go back to work and to get back to the things that they enjoyed before all of this, at least to some degree. And I see in this time of shelter in place that the pressures have been building in people. And so I feel that we need to talk today about temptation. Temptation comes when we yearn for something that we are not currently experiencing, or if I desire something that I'm denied, or something is put in front of me that seems enticing, whether it's something that has been introduced to me that I didn't know or consider, or something that seems pleasurable because it means the avoidance of difficulty or something unpleasant. Now, not all temptation is bad. And if I'm tempted to do something that is good for me or good for another, and it's done in the right way at the right time, then that's not bad. But some temptations are not good for us, and some are actually a scheme of the devil. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So this is the devil's job description. And this is what he's all about. And this is his desire for us. And he will tempt us with things to rob us of what is ours and destroy and ruin us. But we also see in this verse, his job description is contrasted by what Jesus is all about. Jesus is all for us. And Satan wants to take our life, and Jesus wants to give us life. You know, he wants to put life back into what Satan is trying to take away. So where the devil wants to take away from us, Jesus wants to fill it back up with what is truly good. Now this verse, in verse 10, it also talks about abundance. It talks about having life abundantly. Abundance in this verse means an excess. It means an overflow. It means more than enough and full, not only in amount, but also in happiness, about a life that is restored and hindrances removed to a fulfilling life. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be sober of spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. Know that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, humble here in this verse is to place ourselves under God's way and will for us. And when we give into temptation, we are actually rebelling against God's will for us. God wants us to surrender to his will in his way because it is best for us. You know, and when we place ourselves under his desires for us, as opposed to putting our desires over his will for us, he will lift us up. One of the things that tempts us is anxiety. The things that weigh on us, that trouble us, that worry us. And in those times, there is the temptation to seek relief, to seek escape and comfort. But some anxieties we put on ourselves. And we therefore seek relief from that anxiety. And God was not in any of that. You know, because we left him behind, you know, some ways back. Some anxieties come from our not trusting, or worrying about what God isn't going to do. Or we leave him out of our situation, and so we worry because we're looking to the worst instead of looking to him. And some anxiety is the devil just trying to pull us off course from looking to God, so we'll run off of God's path, and once we do, we are in a place of risk. And in that place, we have again run from God and have put ourselves in a dangerous place for the enemy, who is looking for us in that place where we have isolated ourselves from God and others who God is using in our lives. And the devil wants to consume us with his thoughts and his desires and take away from us the life and the abundance that we can have in Christ. But then the passage says, resist him. In other words, resist means to make an aggressive stance. It's to stand firm against him, which says that you can resist him. Because if you couldn't, Peter wouldn't be encouraging you to do it. So how do you do this? Well, it goes on to talk about faith. Faith, by the way, is which we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. It's stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in what you know. Stand firm in what you have experienced, because our experiences of faith are real life encounters to verify God's faithfulness. And if he was faithful before, he'll be faithful now. And this is why the stories of faith are so good, because they encourage us. The testimonies of others do the same thing. They fill us with hope. And if God could do this in that situation, he can help me in mine. Our suffering, our temptation, our battles are temporary. They come and they go, as we will see, because we belong to God. You know, heaven is our destination. An eternity, which is an eternity in paradise with him. And these things that the devil does, these things that the devil tries to do with us, they're just momentary. You know, God uses them to grow us, though, and God uses them to train us, and God uses them to strengthen us. You know, God is great about taking what the devil does and turning it on its ear, and so God uses it to make us better and to bless us in our situations and give us a testimony that will bless and encourage others. And the devil hates that. And so he tries to keep us bound up. He tries to keep us off course. He tries to keep us consumed with his thoughts and his worries, you know, so that we are consumed and so that we are distracted with that. And that we're not grabbing faith and we're not climbing out of the hole that the devil has tricked us to stepping into. And so I want to look at a classic example today. I want to look at an example of Jesus' battle with temptation and with the devil. But I want to look at it in light of the pandemic that we're all in. So Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22 says this. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So we see here, first of all, that Jesus humbles himself. You know, he's God in the flesh. He doesn't need to be baptized, but he submits to this. And as he does, the Father affirms him and God's Spirit is on him. But notice that as this is happening, Jesus is praying. He's connecting with God. He's listening. And when we're connected with God, we can follow Jesus' example and see the results in our life that Jesus experienced in his earthly life, because Jesus' life was meant to be an example for us to follow. You know, to be able to do all things through him who strengthens us, as Philippians 4:13 says. And from there, we go on to the rest of this story, which continues in Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. So Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And in this time, God was with his Son in this time of temptation. But see, Jesus had to go through this. He had to go through this for us. He had to experience this as a man so that he could conquer it, to show us how to win the battle. And if he was going to be our perfect sacrifice, he had to live like one of us and not sin. So he wasn't sheltered from all of this and at the very last minute led to the cross. No, he was out there living life, living it connected with the Father. He had to face and resist the temptation that Adam gave into, you know. And so Jesus was like our second Adam, okay? You know, and what he did was he undid what the first Adam did. Jesus undid what Adam did in the garden. Jesus undid with his death. And so Jesus' death would cleanse us from the sin that Adam brought into the world when he disobeyed God and ate from the tree in the garden. And so Jesus humbled himself and submitted to this, to experience this for us in this time. And I think that he not only went into this experience with the Spirit, But I think he also went into it praying, and I think he went into it fasting. You know, he wasn't, you know, he was going into battle here, and the stakes were high here. Satan wanted to win this thing. You know, Jesus needed to win, and Jesus needed to win for our sake. And so it says that he ate nothing, and that when that time was ended, he became hungry. Now, if you've ever fasted, there's a grace for not eating for that time that you're supposed to fast. And this is one of the reasons why fasting needs to be something that we do with God. And when it was over, the devil comes when he's hungry and he's physically weakened. And so one of the things that we see with this is the devil will come at the worst times. He'll come, you know, in our pride. He'll come when we don't see it. He'll come when we're down. You know, and I'll tell you, the devil is having a heyday right now with the pandemic. When people are isolated, when people are discouraged, when people are fearful, when they're worried, he's having a heyday with this. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we feeding on in this time? You know, are we praying? Are we getting into the Word? Are we reflecting on the times when God has come through for us? You know, are we trusting in Him? Are we standing strong? Or are we feasting on fear talk? Whether it's the things we hear in our own head, or for example, one of the best examples of fear talk that's going on right now is the news. Verse 3. And the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." This was the first temptation. This was the lust of the flesh. Okay? After 40 days, he tempts Jesus with food. What a low down, dirty thing to do. But you know what? There is no limits to how low the devil will stoop. And so he comes at Jesus with this. And you know, this is not the first time he's tempted someone with eating. It worked for Adam in the garden. You know, and he hadn't even fasted. So he says, "Well, I think I'll just try this with Jesus." You know, because it worked before. You know, in this time, he wasn't at his best. You know, he was weak. And in this time of the pandemic, we're not at our best either. And we've all been affected by the pandemic one way or another. You know, we're tired, we're frustrated, we're isolated, we're fearful, we're worried. And we need to follow Jesus' example and be Spirit-led in this time for our witness, for our growth, and for our victory. So we can be led in this time as He wants to use us. So that we can be led in this time for what He wants to do in us. And so that we can stand when the devil comes. Because I guarantee you, in this time of the pandemic, with so much fear, he is definitely prowling around like a lion seeking someone to devour. And so he tempts Jesus with the suggestion to use his power. The power that he had at this point, by the way, is the same power we all have. Because remember, Jesus at this point is living as one of us. And so the power he has is the same power we have. That's why the 3 years of Jesus' ministry is such a great example for us, because everything Jesus did, we could do. Because he's living like one of us. He's put his Godhead aside and said, "I'm living like one of them." And so Satan comes to him and says, "Hey, use that power that is available to you because of God, and use the power on yourself. Use it for yourself." You know, but the thing is, Jesus needed to follow the Father into whatever the Father had for him. And we need to do that for us as well. And so Jesus walked the earth to serve and follow. And we are also to follow his example, and we are to follow, and we are to walk with him, and we are to serve him, because he's Lord. And if Jesus started to give into the habit of using the power to make his situation easier for himself, it would sideline him into making it all about him and his comfort. And so part of the temptation in the wilderness was training for his next 3 years of ministry. And the trick was this. You know, this was the line. This was the hook. It was use your power to prove who you are. Because he says, if you're the Son of God, do this. Well, Jesus knew who he was. And we need to always remember who we are and whose we are. You know, Jesus didn't need to prove anything to the devil. And when you know who you are, you don't have to prove anything either. You know, some lose their way in this time because they forget who they are and they forget whose they are. You know, the training here was that throughout his ministry, Jesus would encounter the Pharisees who would say to him, if you're the Son of God, do a miracle for us. And you know what that is? That is a cheap, quick fix that produces shallow converts with no depth because people are impressed with a sign instead of their hearts being impacted. Such people will always need a sign. The training here was to learn the right response for when he heard this, which he would hear many times. So Jesus' response here in verse 4 is this. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. In other words, we need to be living on more than physical food, which doesn't last. We need to feed the Spirit, which is eternal. The problem is that he was, though, physically hungry. There was a genuine need here. You know, Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. And the temptation is to focus on self and use what I have for me. And some of the best temptations are those that have a real need in them. In our time of the pandemic, we need to be walking with God, though, and surrendering to what He's doing and not use what we have to do things outside of His will. Going down to verse 5. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, he said, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. The second temptation is the lust of the eyes. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says this. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That sums up everything we just talked about. The attitude we need to have, you know, the action we need to follow. But going on to verse 9, for this reason God also highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, Jesus was going to, everything the devil was tempting him with, these kingdoms of the world, you know, Jesus was going to get a kingdom from his Father after his death and his resurrection. The temptation here was to not go to the cross, to avoid the suffering and go straight to the reward. Again, it's taking the easy way. And if Jesus had done that, we would have no hope and we would all be dead in our sin. The temptation here was compromise. It was compromise the plan. Save yourself. The compromise is to compromise his loyalty and his faithfulness to the Father, which, by the way, was what the devil did when he rebelled against God. He compromised his loyalty and his faithfulness to God, and it got him cast out. The temptation here was to compromise the mission and to compromise Jesus' love for us. Now, the kingdoms that Satan showed Jesus were kingdoms of the world. Satan had control of the world, but Jesus is going after something that's not worldly. The world is temporary. And the world doesn't satisfy. The things of heaven do. We need to make sure to go after that which is eternal and not worldly. To not compromise, to not take the easy way either. You know, out of our feelings in this time, or to avoid that which is unpleasant in this time, and to stay loyal to the Father and His will for us. In this time with the virus, feelings are high. We want what we want, and we want it right now. And we need to stay loyal to the Lord and His will for us, even if it isn't easy. Look at Jesus' response in verse 8. Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Jesus knew who He served. The question is, do we know who we serve? As we go through the pandemic, do we know our mission in this time? You know, just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean that you don't have a mission. And just because of the pandemic, it doesn't mean that your mission is on hold either. It just means that as you do your mission, your God-given mission, you've got this thing with the pandemic in the equation. But it doesn't stop it. What is a right and wrong way to achieve your goal? You know, what is your goal in this time? You know? Is it God's goal? And is your will the same as God's will? And are you doing things His way? You know, God is more concerned with your integrity than your success. God is more concerned with your heart than your success. And He's more concerned with how you do things than what you accomplish. Again, this temptation was training to do things the right way. You know, to be the witness. To not let the mission be compromised. Because in His ministry, He would hang out with tax collectors. He would encounter the wealthy and the corrupt religious leaders. And there would be that seeing that life of luxury, all that wealth, while He had nowhere to lay His head. And along with that, to still have love and compassion for people and care for people, people who weren't popular, people who weren't approved of. And that He would choose that path of going and dying a horrible death to save us. Are you an influencer in this season of the pandemic? Or is the pandemic influencing you? Where's your integrity in this time? What's your mission in this time? And is your mission God's mission that He gave you? Verse 9, and He led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The third temptation here was the pride of life. Now this temptation is in some ways very similar to the first temptation. And in other words, it's that cheap, quick fix again that produces shallow converts that have no depth, because people are impressed with the sign instead of their hearts being impacted. But again, as I said, such people will always need a sign. But there was also more to this one. You know, this was due a spectacular sign to impact the people in a way that is not God's way. Through sensationalism, you know, to produce quick and shallow results, making it easy on Jesus to impress the crowd instead of really helping the people. We need to ask ourselves the question of, for who do we do what we do? Do we do what we do for ourselves, or do we do what we do for others? And we need to serve God in His way. And again, there is not the misusing of the power that was at Jesus' disposal to again prove what He already knew, that He is the Son of God. You know, knowing the truth. Even if that truth is not accepted by others, it doesn't change the fact that it is truth. and it's embracing it. He had to know who he was when he went out there. And the reality is some people would never accept him. And so we need to know who we are in him. And we need to know who we are in our situation. And we need to know who we are in our situation right now. But the other thing that testing does, testing will seal all these things in. You know, in this case, we see Jesus staying faithful to the mission, doing it all the way it's supposed to be done. But notice something here with this particular temptation. Satan quotes Scripture. The devil quotes Scripture. Now, he will use the wrong verse at the wrong time. Let me rephrase that. In other words, he knows the word, okay? He knows the word. He knows the word, and he will use the word to trip us up. That's his purpose for knowing the word. He'll trip us up on the word that we embrace. But we need to make sure that we are a good wielder of this sword. Not only because he knows it, but because the word is powerful and the word is encouraging. And we need to make sure that we know how to use this so that we pull out the right word at the right time. Because the right word at the right time is powerful. And the right word at the right time is encouraging. Here's Jesus' response in verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." See, we need to not tempt God. We need to follow his way and not twist or try to find another way for what God is saying and doing. We need to not twist it for what we want. We need to stay on course with what God is actually saying and doing. And in verse 13 it says, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time." Again, the battle was temporary. Now the reality is this. You know, the battle will come again. But either God will allow it to teach and strengthen you, or you will be in a place where you put yourself there. Either way, you have a potential for victory in submitting to our God and connecting with him and standing on faith and doing and saying what God says. This situation with the virus and the shutdown is temporary. In spite of what some people are saying, it's temporary. And there's so much fear right now. You know, there are those that are talking about the possibility of the virus coming back, or the next virus that's going to come behind this, or the current one mutating and coming back. But you know what? All of that is just speculation of man. There is so much they don't know about this thing still. We need to trust in God, and we need to trust in his word. You know, God is so active right now. You know, now God, as I've said before, and as many have said, God didn't cause the virus, but I'll tell you, he is certainly working and moving within it. This time is revealing and exposing and bringing everyone and everything into order in a way unlike we have seen before. So we need to be running to him and take full advantage of this time right now. And we need to look to him and surrender and receive what he is doing for our benefit. And what benefits us and what benefits others because of what God has done in us. What Jesus did in the temptation and in his earthly time and on the cross was not easy. But as a result of all that he did, there is forgiveness of sin and there's eternal life for the believer and for anyone who comes into a saving relationship with Jesus. His unpleasant experience saved the world. The question is, what is God wanting to do in you in this current, in your current unpleasant experience? And how will that impact other people? If we react out of the wrong motivations in this time, if we do what we want instead of what God wants for us right now and go for the quick fix, if we want to go for the fast relief and focus on us too much and not on him and his will, what will be the impact of that on us and therefore on those that we touch? See, Satan's plan with the temptation was to instill in Jesus things that would ruin his ministry and therefore affect the plan. God's plan was to use the temptation to train and to strengthen and to reinforce what was already in Jesus. You know, the thing about it is what are we bringing into the pandemic that God is using the pandemic to expose and reveal in us? Is it exposing our impatience? Is it exposing our fear, our impulsiveness, our anxiety, our desire to control? Is it exposing those things? And were those things already in us? And God's using this to bring those to the surface so that these things will not be a part of us anymore. And so he's exposing them to remove them. Instead of us having them kick up and us living in them. You know, one of the strategies of the devil is to try to stop something before it starts. And so with his temptation of Jesus, I think it was to try to trip up his ministry before it ever started. And one of the other things that he does is this. He tries to get us to look at ourselves as opposed to looking at other people. And what I mean is, I focus on me and I lose sight of what I'm supposed to do with these other people. But then there's another thing that he does too. He'll get us to focus on other people instead of looking at ourselves. In other words, he'll get me to focus on what's wrong with other people, what I don't like about them. And if I focus on what's wrong with them, that I don't look at myself. And I don't look at the things in me that I need to look at. And the thing about it is, if I would look at myself, then I would see that the problem is really not those other people. The problem is in me. But I'm not seeing it because I'm focusing on what's wrong with someone else. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You know, this is such an intense time that God is moving in. It's unlike anything we've seen before. And it would be a shame to not see all that God is doing and to miss all that is in it for us. You know, he's so active right now. You know, I mean, you can see it, can't you? I mean, you know, and this is an encouragement, because if he's in it and he's moving in this time, then he's there, and therefore we need to be looking for him in what is happening instead of reacting to what is happening. We need to look for him in it, and not looking at the situation and looking at it in the wrong way and missing him, because as this verse says, if we don't look for him, we'll miss him. If we focus on our wants instead of where he is, we'll miss him. If we don't think he's there, we'll miss him. If we seek him and his will, we will find him. We will see him. And if we're looking and seeing him, then what we're seeing, you know, if we're not looking and seeing him, then what are we seeing and what are we hearing? You know, and if we're not seeing him, if we're not hearing him, then our options are this. Then we're seeing and hearing the world. We're seeing and hearing ourselves, and we're seeing and hearing the devil. The question is, who are you listening to in this time right now? Even though Jesus was weak from no food, he was strong in that time. And as I said, you know, testing also reinforces and strengthens us. You know, this time that we're in could be one of reinforcing and strengthening for you. It can be that shedding off what needs to be shed off, or it can be a confirming of what is in you that is godly so that you can stand firm. Even though we feel tired, even though we may be fearful and stressed, what is God developing in you in this time? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are active and moving. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the eyes to see where you are. That you would help us, Lord, to be able to put aside all of our things that hinder us, all our things that trip us up, all our things that distract us. That we would lay them down and we run to where we see you. And we would come to you just as we are. Not coming to you as our neighbor is, but coming to you as we are. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to see where we are with you. Are we looking where we need to be looking? You know, are we faithful to the mission? You know, are we doing your mission? Are we doing and looking at the things we need to right now? Or are we so caught up in all the craziness of this time? God, I pray that you would give us the strength to stand firm and to not get swept up in all of this, so that we can come out of this time stronger than when we went into it. Lord, I thank you that you are so good that you will take something like the virus, like the pandemic, and do a great thing with it. You know, we talked about this at 9 o'clock in the Bible study. You taking conflict and persecution and turning it into historic decisions that were made so the people could walk in a greater freedom in you. Lord, I thank you that you are in the business of turning the devil's business on its ear and using it as a great victory for you. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, that we would see you the way we need to see you, that we would see this time as we need to see it, and that we would have the victory that is possible and is a reality in you. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me share some questions with you. These are posted on our COG list, and so you can look at these on there. And these are just questions to help you kind of take what we've talked about and kind of drill it down further for yourself. And so the first question is, how much of what you feel denied of right now is because of the pandemic, and how much is an act of God, and why? The next question is, how much of the anxiety and restlessness you may be feeling right now is due to the pandemic, and how much of what you feel is what you may be putting on yourself? Next, how much of you is currently full of God's Spirit, and how much of you is filled by other things? Can you identify what the other things are, and what is being produced in you from what fills you? What percentage of you is seeking solution, is seeking situation relief? And what percentage of you is seeking to follow God in this situation? Do you know who you are in Christ? If you do, write it below. If you do not, then compose a brief statement that sums up who you are in Christ using scriptures that speak to this or words declared over you by others about you as his son or daughter. Then ask yourself how your statement compares to how you are feeling and acting during the pandemic. And lastly, after you've answered all of these questions, look at your answers and see if they show any changes that you need to make. List what you need to do in implementing those changes and make a plan to maintain the changes that you make. So, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.